Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. Connie Willis here, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the 850 AM, 94.1 FM, KOA, the voice of Colorado affiliate, one of many that we have for you. So, hello, everybody. Tonight, retired U.S. Air Force Major George Filer III going to talk about aliens with us, what he knows about them, and one apparently was shot. Was it killed? We'll find out. It all happened on a base, and he's going to give us the scoop. So stay with us. And then, of course, open lines after that. But time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much-needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. Everybody, Connie Willis here, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Hello, everybody. Wow, next week, it's Thanksgiving. Oh, my gosh. I think that's one of the most wonderful days of all time throughout the year. I mean, I say that with everyone. I love, you know, I love Halloween. I love Christmas. I love New Year's. I love all that kind of stuff. I do. But, you know, as a culinary student from the CIA and enjoying family to where you enjoy food together and giblet gravy and all that good stuff, right? You got to have that. But the fact, the biggest thing to me is it is a day of thanks. And I hope that you guys get to enjoy your Thanksgiving because it is a special day. And I just always thought it was so special that one day that might be, you know, the day that I do know some people that have been married on Thanksgiving Day, and I think that's sweet because that is the day to give thanks. I think that's a nice time to get married. Some people think that's kind of crazy, but I think that's a day of thanks. So why wouldn't you say thanks, in front of everybody like that? So I don't know. It's just a special day, but just, you know, eat, enjoy, have a good time. And laugh and all that good stuff. And, of course, listen to Coast AM because we'll be on later on that night and earlier that morning. So we'll be with you the whole time. But that's coming up next week and Black Friday and all that kind of stuff, right? Oh, my gosh, it's already Christmas and things are already out showing that they're Christmas. I still have Halloween candy. I'm eating some of it, you know, in between breaks here. So anyway, I hope you guys have a great holiday season. And I'll be talking to you a few more times before the end of the year. But I did want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving before the night is over. I don't want to forget about that. Also, you can join me on my show, Blue Rock Talk. Blue Rock Talk, investigating Earth's creepiest hotspots. Yep, we go live virtually, and we check out Dogman and Bigfoot and strange lights and go to hauntings, live investigations. It's a lot of fun. And right now, because you're a Coast to Coast listener, you can get half off for a year if you go to my site now at bluerocktalk.com, bluerocktalk.tv. Just go find it. One of those will work and sign up for it and enjoy it. You'll have a lot of fun with it. We're all very close, good people, and they're all just like you listening to Coast right now. They're good people, and I think you'll like it. We don't have haters or we vote them out. But it is good, and we're not 101. We go deep into it. That's Blue Rock Talk. So thanks to those of you that join, and you can get the half-off price tonight if you go to the site. Okay, so I'm very happy to have the man that I have on tonight. Very interesting man. You've seen him a lot in documentaries, and he's going to talk about aliens with us tonight. It's retired Air Force Major George Filer III. He's a decorated former intelligence officer for the Air Force. And, you know, that's huge, you guys, that he already has that clout as it is and then has done so many other things in the world that you're going to learn about tonight in the world of the UFO world and to let people know, hey, this is real. Let's let the world know it's real. And he's known about these things since a child. So we're going to learn a lot about him tonight. We're also going to learn a little bit, too, about a guy that authored a book for George. And he studied George for like 3 to 5 years in order to write the book that he wrote. And he's going to be with us throughout, in and out of the interview to make sure that you know, we get everything in that we need to get in, and all the highlights, because there's so much information. Again, he interviewed him for 3 to 5 years for this book, and that's John Gura. John, award-winning investigative reporter. He spent his early career covering the U.S. House and Senate. All right. I did not know that, John. I love when you send over these things like that, because I didn't remember that. So, with the Pentagon and federal agencies in D.C. Now living in the Tampa Bay area. Love that area as well. A career newspaper man. Who spends years on his books, 3 to 5, researching the facts and confirming the story to make sure his readers experience a world known to but a few. And John Gura, did I say that correctly, John?
You sure did. It's pronounced there, but that's okay. That's okay.
How are you? Thank you for being with us and helping us with the highlights of a very special man that we have on tonight. Very happy to have him on. The first time he's ever been on Coast. Amazing.
Yeah, he's. I tell you what, he's quite the guy to talk to about aliens and UFOs. He really is.
I think I might have told you this, but I thought this was interesting. I was, you know, I knew that I was going to have George on tonight, and they had said, hey, we have another guest as John, and that's who you're hearing now. And I was like, John, who's John? And well, John authored the book. And so I said to George, now George, you know, because I'm just thinking, you know, you're one-on-one, you're doing your thing, you're having the conversation, and it was so cute. I just loved it, so I got to say it. I already told it to John earlier, so he knows what I'm going to say. But I said, do you feel like, you know, it's late at night, he's 84, he's like, Connie, man, I need somebody to keep me up. But he also said, he says a lot of really nice things about me that I can't say for myself. And I just thought it was so cute. I'm like, you know what, George, I'm going to say those nice things too. So he really thinks a lot of you, John. And can you describe him through the amount of time it took you to write that book? And tell us about the book with him in it.
Absolutely. The name of the book is Strange Craft, The True Story of an Air Force Intelligence Officer's Life with UFOs. And I had written a column down in the Keys about UFO sightings down there, and a friend of mine, Deborah Chamberlain, who I went to high school with, said she had knew a guy who was an intelligence officer in the Air Force whose career included interviewing pilots, base personnel, tower control people about their encounters with UFOs, and in one case, the shooting of an alien on an Air Force base. And I was like, absolutely, I'd love to meet him. Now, that was the beginning of a friendship that's lasted to this day. We began interviewing over the phone, and I went to his home in New Jersey and sat across the kitchen table with him and his lovely wife, Janet, and we went over his life, and I asked him probing questions. I'm not sure anyone had really sat him down and gone over the details of these encounters. And
really? Isn't that crazy? I mean, that would be like the first thing. So good for you. Maybe it was meant for you then, John.
I was just really pleased to have the project and to get to know George. He's quiet spoken, but he's an intelligence officer. They weigh what they say very carefully. And they're astute and they're exact in their language. They have to be when they're describing conditions of a war. He was briefed higher ups just before the Tet Offensive. He had images from the Cuban Missile Crisis in a briefcase handcuffed to his wrist that he personally delivered to the head of the Air Force, SAC, Strategic Air Command.
Wow, I thought that was only in the movies.
He was the guy with the briefcase. And believe me, if they don't believe you are put together right, they're not going to let you have that information. And he worked with Curtis LeMay directly during the Cuban Missile Crisis as he came up with a plan whether to attack or not, Cuba. It's an amazing story. He's an amazing guy, and I think you'll enjoy talking with him.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough hours to talk with him. I tell you, I'm excited about it, and thank you for hanging in there with us on the side throughout.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the book. I've got to skim through it, and I know you have another one on Ghost, right? What? Right? Ghost?
Yes, it's actually it's a true story. I grew up in Maryland in a haunted house. A lot of people have
Join the club.
Yeah, the house scared me to death. But the name of the book is called Just Us: Horror in a Small Maryland Town, and it's years later. It's my kind of description of what the ghosts and these events were. These ghostly events, I guess you call them. And it's about the uncovering of a crime that occurred in the house 20 years earlier. So that's what the other book called, Just Us: Horror in a Small Maryland Town.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I know Richard had you on not too long ago, but we'll definitely get you on again with all the other things you're talking about. And you told me you never saw a UFO, so I'm gonna take you up to the Rockies sometime. You're going to go on a creepy hotspot with me.
I'd love it.
Okay. All right. We're going to make sure that happens. Okay. All right. So, John, so thank you very much. Let's bring on retired Major George Filer and ask him about aliens in general, what he knows, how it all got started, and what he can tell us. And maybe he's even got something new that he's never told anybody. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe not. But, George, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to hearing your stories tonight, your actual encounters, actually, I should say. And I know it was nice. I've gotten to talk to you just a little bit, you know, two different days, a little bit. And I just loved the things you have said so far, because it's straight up, it's right to the point. And you had said, it was funny, you said, I'm very opinionated. I was like, thank you. I love that. I don't want wishy-washy. So I appreciate that. Do most people not like that?
I don't know. Some do and some don't.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Depends on their political leanings or religion or whatever, you know.
This is true. This is true. Well, I had told you, I knew you have a lot of things you can talk about, a lot of different subjects, but I wanted to stick to the aliens, and I wanted to ask you about the story where one was shot and you were around that. So I am going to let you tell me about that, but how did it all start in the first place? Because you had already seen UFOs and aliens. You know what, George? Some people only talk UFOs. And some people only talk aliens, but you can talk both.
Well, I've met both. And chased them in aircraft. I have 5,000 hours flying airplanes, so although I'm also an intelligence officer, I know what it's like to fly and to chase UFOs and get close to them in the air, so...
What was
wonderful
that?
Wonderful technology, much better than anything we have.
Right. I was going to say, how did you get that close in a plane or whatever you were in? Because those things go so fast. Is it because they came to you?
Well, no. Actually, I was flying a tanker over England in the 420th Air Refueling Squadron. And London Control called us and said that they had an unidentified craft that they would like us to intercept over the center part of England. We were actually up in the North Sea refueling fighters, and we just finished as the sun went down. And we said we would be happy to intercept the unidentified. And the reason they called on us is because it's not generally known by the public, but the fighters would go after the UFOs, and they can't stay airborne very long. And if they shoot at the UFOs, they usually don't come back.
Oh, you mean if we shoot at the UFOs, we usually don't come back?
Right.
Oh. Do you find any wreckage at all?
It was far in advance of anything we have.
Absolutely.
Go out and attack us or anything, but if we shoot at them, they respond likely in the same way.
Absolutely. Do they annihilate us or do they take us?
Well, we don't know for sure. In some cases, we've lost a lot of airplanes. you'd be amazed how many we've lost. And usually the, you know, the pilots and the crew are killed when the plane crashes, obviously. sometimes, you know, we're able to bail out or whatever. But the reason they asked the tankers that I was flying to go after the UFO is that we are not armed. And they found that it was better not to shoot at the UFOs. You know, their technology is, I don't know for exactly how many years, or 1,000 or 10,000 or even 1,000,000 years ahead of us. And they have capabilities far beyond anything we have. And I was flying an airplane that flew as fast as a fighter, and when we went after him, we went over the center part of England. It was kind of an interesting story, if you want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely.
They said it's over the Stonehenge area and going between Stonehenge and England and Oxford, which is kind of the center southern portion of England. And we're up over the North Sea, so they cleared us and gave us complete what they call as the Queen's traffic control. And in other words, anything that was in the area was turned out of the way so we could chase the UFO directly. And we went into a steep dive and got too excited and passed the speed of the aircraft and started shaking. The red line of the aircraft is over 400 and started shaking. We had to pull back on the power to slow down to get it going. Well, we finally got about 50 miles away, and the radar was already on, but I turned it so that I could see the UFO off in the distance. And it was very interesting that the UFO was a huge radar return. And the only similar radar return that I used to get was the Firth of Forth Bridge in Scotland, which is a mile-long, all-steel bridge. Mm. So if the radar was correct, the UFO was something like a mile long, which is hard to believe, but when we got closer to it, we could see this huge object in the sky that looked like a long cigar or cylinder with dozens of lights on it, kind of like a ship at sea, you know, big ship at sea. And the radar was confirming what we were seeing as we got closer to it.
A mile long.
Almost 500 miles an hour as we're cruising on it. And it just kind of like, have you ever seen the launch of the shuttles at night?
Yeah.
It went straight up into the air about 10 times faster than we were flying. And so we asked London Control if they had any rocket launches, and they said no, but the UFO had left us, and we could continue on with our mission.
So you saw one that was a mile long. I hear about those, but never seen one like that. Well, wow.
That's our best guess. In any case, that weekend was a dining in at the Sculthorpe Officers Club, and the speaker was Prince Philip, the Queen's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince Philip gave a nice talk. And when he finished, he said, I want to speak to the crew that chased the UFO earlier in the week. So we sat down with Prince Philip and smoked a cigar and had a port. And he was such a gentleman and really a nice guy. A lot of people don't say he is, but he was with us because, you know, he's a pilot himself. And we told him our story and about the UFO, and he was very interested. And he said that he tries to go and visit all the aircrews that chase UFOs and get each one their stories. And he knows that they, in fact, exist. And that's one of the things that I found through my career was that the higher you go, the more they know for sure that UFOs exist.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. And it's great that you have confirmed that thought for me. So thank you so much for that. This is George, retired Major George Filer, that we're talking to. I'm Connie Willis here, and we are going to find out more about aliens and what George has seen and what he knows and what he'll share with us. Stay with us, because we're going to do that. And oh my gosh, it's so exciting for me. I love when I get to hear these things. And we've got open lines later. Thanks for listening. Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis, discussing UFOs, aliens, with retired Major George Filer III. You know, George, I find it interesting that UFOs, spacecraft now, it's just a UFO. It's not, well, I don't know. You tell me. When I think of UFO, that's usually, to me, it's not an unidentified flying object. It's, when I hear UFO, it's something from outer space. That's how I think of it now. I think a lot of people have gotten to that. Are you there too, or are you still like, no, it's unidentified?
Well, it depends on the particular sighting we have. You know, I'm the Eastern MUFON director, and we have, between other agencies and ourselves, over 1,000 sightings per month.
Wow.
But most of them are, frankly, just lights in the sky, so it's difficult to say what those are. But, of course, some of them are the huge type UFOs, the cylinders and the triangles, and the discs are probably the most common type that's not a light.
Well, come over.
Continue with Prince Philip, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely.
Prince Philip was very friendly, and I asked him why he believes in UFOs. And he said, well, he was raised by Earl Mountbatten, who was a very famous man in England, who was actually the last viceroy in India, but he was also the head of the Navy in the UK, and that he had UFOs fly over his fleet of ships, with thousands of Englishmen seeing the UFOs buzz the whole line of ships that he had. Not only that, they landed on his estate, and he also saw them in India. That frequently, the people that travel a lot, they're head of countries, etc., see them quite often. Obviously, they don't report it to us that much, although President Reagan and President Carter both reported that they had seen UFOs and were rather detailed about it. The interesting thing is that the UFO I saw was over Stonehenge. Most people know these huge rocks that are in the ground in England. So I drove down there with my wife and daughter, and visited the stones, and they almost sing to you, but they feel like they might have communication or whatever. But right near Stonehenge, most people don't know about this, are what is called curses. And curses are a mile long, 6 foot hole deep in the ground. And it's the exact shape and size of the UFO that I saw.
Interesting.
And the curses is like 3,000 years old.
Wow.
And right near the curses are burial mounds. Hmm. And when we went in the burial mounds, where obviously people are buried, which you only see the bones, but the bones of many of the people had huge heads, kind of like cone heads. And I believe that those were aliens, some of the first aliens that visited us. Mm. And those people with large heads are also in Egypt, where pharaohs in Egypt were Indian chiefs in Peru and so on, and were obviously appeared to have more brain power than the rest of the humans. And I think that whole area can be, you know, investigated a greater amount, and that I think the aliens were in England way back then.
I think you're right. I agree with you. What do you think Stonehenge is?
Well, it's so huge, you know, and the Stonehenge itself has these 100-ton rocks that were brought 100 miles away. Well, how did they get there? Same with the pyramids, you know, these mm-hmm. huge rocks. How did they get there that they traveled long distances and were cut, you know, so precisely that you can't even stick your credit card in between these huge stones? Well, the point being is that I think that technology was advanced to ours, certainly to the ancient Egyptians, that the aliens were helping us in some way.
Do you think we're, what are the aliens? Who are they to us? Who are we to them?
Well, I think the whole universe is filled with certain kinds of I call them humanoids. Most aliens, you know, they may look different than us, like the grays or whatever, and some look just like us. And in fact, those that look just like us claim that they are our ancestors, that we, you know, in effect came from that. And if you...
I just wish I had their abilities that they have. We got some, it seems like, a little bit. Some of us are psychic and can do some things. But you were talking how they can walk through the walls, and they've been able to figure out how to do that.
Not only can they walk through walls, but they can take you through walls.
That's what's weird. What are they doing? They putting us in a little bubble or something? What's that about? Have we learned from that?
Well, I've investigated a lot of people that, you know, are abductees, and most of them have a similar story that when they go through the wall or the window, it's very much like you're in a pool and, you know, you feel the water going around you.
Mm-hmm.
Only in this case, it's brick or stone or whatever it happens to be that they're going through, or the ceiling. People that are abducted are frequently taken out through the ceiling and up through the attic that in many cases they've never seen before, and up into the ships. Now, the abductions seem to be leveling off, or at least people don't want to talk about it as much anymore. But we're not getting as many reports as we used to. And most of the reports were from, you know, 20 years ago or whatever.
You know what? Now, I do my own show, Blue Rock Talk, and we go out and do a show called Creepy Hotspots, where I go to creepy hotspots where I know there's already, like, Bigfoot, Dogman, strange lights, and things like that. And I do that once a month. And I tell you what, I've been seeing more and more and more and more strange lights in the sky, roaming through the woods, beams of light on my friends, on me. I see more and more of that. So please come visit, and I will take you with me.
Well, I
and I'm curious about that.
We're being visited by several groups of aliens. I'm not sure exactly why one group indicated that they're sun was wearing out, and it was just a matter of time before their sun, you might say, shut down, and then their planet would be dark. So they have to find someplace else to live, and they're coming here. And those, at least that group, are the ones that look pretty much like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that some are already here, you know.
Yeah.
The illegal immigrants are from other planets.
Right. Well, have you ever heard, like, you know, the remote viewers, the psychic spies, you know, all those guys, they all call the little grays Uber drivers now. They're like, they used to say they're the taxi cab drivers of the universe. Now they call them the Uber guys. They just do the little, they're the worker bees. They just do the little junk work that nobody else wants to do. Well, the ones that I've been seeing, like in the Rockies and on some reservations and different things like that, they seem like, yeah, they're just, you know, out for a little cruise that, you know, this is their home. That's the impression I had been getting.
Well, I think some of the remote viewers were our friends, and they could remote view, you know, different underground bases or bases under the ocean or bases on the moon or Mars or whatever. That I don't know how accurate all that is, but it sounds accurate and fit in with a lot of what we have done with, you know, searching photographs on Mars and the moon and so on, that there's definitely something going on up there, that aliens are there as well. And the astronauts that I talked to also confirmed that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then why is it that you've seen them? I've seen them. A lot of people have seen them, and everybody even kind of talks about it openly, but why do they still not admit to it?
Well, the Navy, at least, has been admitting it lately.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure why the Air Force isn't. I mean, I used to brief the generals about them and stuff, and that's one of the things about being a briefer, that you get a lot of good classified information, and you know, UFOs were common, and almost anywhere you would go, our air crews were, you know, seeing them and reporting them, and I would brief them, and you know, this kind of thing. That I don't know. Well, it's really supposedly classified information. It's one of the reasons they don't get that information on. That, you know, it's like a lot of classified stuff. It's not fake news like you get every night on the net.
I knew it was coming. I didn't know when. That was good.
Well, I mean, the news is really bad now. Nothing like what is in the classified news. Yeah.
I can't think now. That was, I've lost my train of thought. Okay, I had a really good question for you. Hold on here. Let me see if I can pull it back out. Okay, you have actually seen of them. Have you actually talked to them in the military way, where or is there anything set up where we learn from them straight up? We're talking to them like we hear about with Dulce, you know, down in the bottom. They're making people and different things and all that.
Talk to some military people who have you know, face-to-face talk with them while they're both in the military, in a sense, you know. And they warn you, you know, as I understand it, don't mess with me, you know, might have to kill you, but other than that, they don't do it, but, I mean, they kind of warn you that they have that capability very easy for them to do it, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I did any of them say anything like, okay, I talked to them, and whether they look like us or didn't, I mean, they had to say it was just freaky.
Well, most of them have talked to either the aliens that look like us or the grays, which are the shorter types with the large heads and large eyes, which, by the way, was what was shot at McGuire. You want to...
Yeah, I want to hear about that, yeah.
That Well, if you want to go to the McGuire, we can right now.
Yeah, yes, yep.
But as an intelligence briefer, I used to go in early in the morning, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, into the base to prepare my briefing. Well, this one morning, January 18th, 1978, I drove in the base and they made me show my ID card and everything. And as I got on base, I could see a bunch of lights out at the end of the runway, like there was an accident or something. Well, when I go into 21st Air Force Headquarters, the command post, I walk in and they briefed me immediately that an alien had been shot at Fort Dix and had run away and had jumped the fence or went through the fence and was on McGuire and was found on the end of the runway. He had, by that time, died. This happened around, you know, like 12, 1 o'clock, and I'm there at 4 o'clock. And they want me to brief General Tom Sadler and the staff about the aliens. And I said, well, you mean if, you know, somebody from another country? They said, no, you don't understand. It's aliens from space, you know. I said, are you kidding? You want me to brief General Sadler about this? You know, he has a real good sense of humor, and he's liable to throw me off the stage. He said, no, we want you to brief it, you know. So I started calling around, you know, the different command posts on the base and the security police and the radar. People said that they had UFOs in the pattern, and the people on the tower said, well, we can see three UFOs are landed out at the end of the runway there. There's little men running around. They said that they must be trying to find their buddy who was shot. And any case, all over the base, I got confirmation from different people that this alien was out there. So, unbeknownst to me, a short time later, a crew arrived from Washington, D.C., all in black uniforms, and told our people who were guarding the alien to take off, you know, rather nastily. And in any case, our police left, and they people from Washington, D.C. took over.
And oh, interesting.
They told me that a C-141 aircraft was coming in from Wright-Patterson to pick up the body. Now, I flew the C-141s at McGuire, and I didn't know there was any at Wright-Patterson. And sure enough, the C-141 came in, and some ambulance people went out there and checked the body to make sure that it, you know, wasn't alive, even though it had been shot a couple of times by the Army. It's interesting, shot on the Army side of the base, they went to the Air Force, which may mean something.
Oh, very telling here. Okay, go ahead. Well, you know what? Hold on a second. Let's all breathe and take that in. And George will come back and ask you more about that. Wow. Is he not great, you guys? So definitely stay with us. We appreciate that you're here. We will have open lines later, but more to come with retired Major George Filer III. He has fantastic stories for us, and he's talking about the alien that was shot. So we'll finish up with that story too, ask some other questions, and he's got a great sense of humor too, doesn't he? I love it. All right, more to come. Thanks for listening. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM.